Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Broken Earth, the program for mending and transcending. Please sit back, light your incense, your candles, and prepare yourself for our very own world-renowned master reader and loved one, Nunu. I am Bill, your co-pilot and meditation specialist, and now, Broken Earth.
Today, we are going to be talking about
shadow
people.
That's right. If you have any stories about
shadow,
please give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. Let me just have a quick listen, make sure the audio is perfect, as always. I can't check it, so I'm going to assume that it's alright, so please sit back and open your mind and enjoy the show. Thank you.
Do you want to say, hey, it's me? Do you want
But if you wanna find hell with me, I'm gonna show you what it is.
Tuesday, anybody. Hello, hello, people in the chat room, guests, and Eclipsion.
I think it's pronounced Eclipsion.
Of course, you're always right, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So,
what are we talking about on today's show?
Today, I have got quite a few things to talk about. We're going to be talking about, you know,
go on.
Five shockingly advanced ancient buildings that, you know, are, it's very impressive that they exist. We're going to be talking about creepy, unexplainable things that happen to people in their own homes. We're going to talk about people and their kids' imaginary friends. And we're also going to be talking about
shadow
So we have a lot to cover today, and of course, if anybody has stories that they want to share about any of the things we're talking about or even about, we're here for that, you know.
It'll be like one of those shows that plays all those strange noises and stuff all the way through the shows.
Well, you know, and of course, if anybody has any questions, if anybody wants to get a simple sample reading, we're here for that too. So, you know, it's all about that. It's all about that. So, who wants to go first?
Who wants to be a millionaire? So we're going to cover some news first, right?
Is that what you want to cover first, some news?
Well, yeah, that's what we agreed. Remember?
Did I say that?
No, I said it.
Oh, and what you say goes, because you're Buffalo Bill.
Start off with some light news, shall we?
Yes, sir.
About bulbs.
Blubs.
I'm just kidding. Hold on a minute, my computer's been... A secret recorded video of two New Jersey... Now, how would you say this? Because we don't call them this over here. Realtors. Kinky sexual escapades inside a house they were supposed to be selling.
What?
It's been released today by the irate owner who claims they used his house like a cheap motel. The revealing footage of Coldwell Banker Realtors, Robert Lindsay, and Jean-Marie Helan comes as homeowners Richard and Sandra Wiener sue the pair for damages, claiming they were promised the house would sell for $650,000, according to Wiener. His home security cameras recorded affectionate for them, and Lindsay having sex at least 10 times, including on his marital bed.
Well, that's not going to make the house not sell.
Yeah, but it's not really going to do anything to help it sell, though, is it?
But it's not making it not sell.
Yeah, but it's not actually making it sell.
Maybe it will now.
They're getting a lot of butt juices over the bed. Snippets of the sensational footage aired for the first time on Inside Edition as an angry wiener hit back at the $1 million countersuit launched by Lindsay and Helen, which alleges the wieners tried to blackmail them with the footage, but Richard Wiener. So it's written...
That sounds like a joke. His name is really Dick Wiener.
Dick Wiener, yeah. Claims it's not true, telling Inside Edition. We didn't ask them for a cent. We asked them for a meeting. But episode on NFT ahead, so forth and onwards, and wieners. Anyway, there you go.
Absolutely amazing.
Crazy town.
Everyone was acting like they could turn again. And she's...
Are you going to play it all? But are you going to tell people what it is? Otherwise, people won't know it, isn't it?
It's better if they don't understand.
Oh.
Are
you going to play it all? Is that it?
That was it right now.
Oh. Now, hold on. An American anchor who quit her job on air
over
in state-funded Russia Today.
In Russia.
What?
Oh, you're the woman in Russia. Sorry.
An American anchor who quit her job at state-funded Russia Today. On air to protest President Putin sending troops into the Ukraine, has said she feels sick that she worked at the station. Liz Wall, who works for Russia Today's Washington, D.C. Bureau, said that in her live resignation, that she could no longer work for a network that whitewashes the actions of Putin. She's now further explained the reasons for quitting the channel, saying it is not a sound news organization when your agenda is making America look bad. Putin has justified the incursion into Crimea, which is interesting. I have a story about Crimea very shortly, as a way of protecting ethnic Russians in the region who says are threatened by ultra-nationalistic forces as the country undergoes revolution. In a resignation, Walt spoke about how personal the recent developments in the Ukraine. Let's give up there. Anyway, she was saying, where is it? It was saying something about if you want to succeed. An interview with the Daily Beast. Wall said the Kremlin's influence over the Russia Today was not overt, but in order to succeed there, you don't question. See, I thought it was interesting because Russia Today are pretty good with the news, you know, along with the truthful news. I know they're probably not great, but it concerns me that they're saying that if you don't ask any questions, you'll actually get somewhere, you know, so I'm not...
All they're supposed to be doing is just reading the news. It's not, and the news that they're reading is not news that they're writing. It's news that they're being handed. You know what I mean? So, you know, anybody could do that. So if she doesn't want to do it, she quits. It's not like she's doing anything extraordinary. She just doesn't want to do it anymore because she doesn't feel like what she's doing is, you know, reporting. She feels like she's just reading whatever they're writing. So quit and leave, and it doesn't have to be theatrical. She just leaves. You know, I know that she was feeling threatened. She was feeling, you know, like whatever. But they didn't do anything to her. She was able to leave. So there you go. Another one did it too. another one quit as well. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure whatever they were reading was, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and Eclipse is saying in the room, sorry to interrupt you, she makes dramatic, such diva behavior. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of people who don't sing calling themselves divas. If you're not a person who sings, you're not a diva. You're just something else. But anyway, you're right, Eclipsian. She had to be dramatic about it. So she could have some interviews and people could ask her, what happened? Why were you doing that? You know, but I have kind of noticed that Russia is getting kind of brave. They are doing some things that they normally wouldn't have done. And even the way that they have been in regards to the preparations for the Olympics, you know, they've had some pretty shoddy preparation, and they've known that this is something that's going to be for years. They have known about this for
4 years.
No, for many, many, many years they have known.
For many years.
Not just for 4 years, but for many, many years they've known.
4 years.
For quite a few years.
Not just four.
Right. For many years.
Okay, tell you what. I'll read out this other story. We'll have a song, sing song together.
Are we going to sing together?
Yeah, we're going to sing Slipknot.
You want us to stay on while it's playing so we can...
No, because we don't know the words.
Oh.
tell you what, we could sing along with the other track that I chose.
Okay.
It's an instrumental.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Okay. an elderly man got the shock of his life after hiring an escort girl only for her to be his son's fiancée. The 70-year-old from Treviso in northern Italy believed he was being discreet when he booked a woman for the nearby city of somewhere rather than employ a local girl. But his plan backfired spectacularly when the woman turned up on his doorstep. The 40-year-old, who was from South America, had told the family she was a waitress. After some deliberation, the man revealed to his son the secret he had discovered about his fiancée, and the son, understandably, took it badly. The incident is said to have occurred 4 years ago, but it's just become public knowledge due to a court hearing between the father and son who have not been identified. The son is suing his father for unspecified injuries through the judge. Sorry, though the judge has postponed the hearing after unsuccessful attempts to get the pair to make amends. It is not known if the marriage went ahead. So why is he suing his father?
I don't know. I mean, none of that story says what happened except for the father was getting a hooker for his son, and it turns out that the hooker was a waitress and a fiancé. What?
What?
I know. It sounded like you were saying he hired an escort.
He did.
But the escort turned out to be his son's fiancé.
Yes.
And so there's just no telling what happened.
Did they... they may have gone through with it, maybe. Hello,
mm. Well, that's absolutely nuts.
Pretended they didn't recognize each other.
Mm.
Oh, hello. How are you? I've not seen you before. Please come inside. What is your name? Yes, sir. Come inside.
Walk this way.
Inside this way!
Oh, my goodness. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to... Are we going to read one of my things out? Are we going to read one of my things out?
We're going to talk about...
Shadow.
Yeah, did you listen to anything I told you about before we did this show?
No, I didn't hear anything you said.
Let's play a song, and then we'll... talk about we'll talk about
shadow
people. Look, we're losing listeners. It's your button skills.
Yeah, blame it on me.
I am. Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back, everybody. Remember, give us a call if you want to get a simple sample reading or if you want to talk about any of the things that we're about to start talking about. The number is 347-215-8421, and we'll be right back.
Something that matters. And I said, I am making things that matter. I'm making sounds into Bill's phone app.
Damn straight.
And she did the SMA, shaking my head.
Oh my God.
I wonder if could they hear what we were just saying? I think so. I didn't press the live button.
Oh, really? Were we just sitting here in silence?
I doubt it, because I think that that's one of the reasons why we have to constantly use our mute thing, is because the live button doesn't
anything. Well, that bit, obviously, that bit at the end of the song, the weird talking, wasn't actually part of the track.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. It fit right into it, completely into it. And remember, if anybody wants to give us a call, because our lines are completely open.
Completely.
The number is 347-215-8421. And tell us about which, you know, all the things that you wanted to talk about today.
Should give us an introduction to the shadow. Were you going to talk...
Oh, yeah, I was. I did want to you know.
Before we went on to the...
to the main topic.
Yeah, you said you were...
Gonna blah, blah. Well, there's some stories here that have been sharing about strange experiences with their kids. And one of them is a story that's called Tracy. When my niece was about 4, she had an imaginary friend, which I don't remember the name of. She would blame things she did on this imaginary friend, but also talked about how this friend would watch Scooby-Doo with her.
Scooby-Doo.
One day I thought, why don't I find out more about this friend? So I asked her to tell me about her friend, and she said, she's a she and she's dead. And I said, okay. Does
she's
she have
dead.
A job?
No, she said it. Sorry.
You're doing this to me because I did that to you earlier, aren't you?
Yeah, go on. Sorry.
I'm going to do like you, and I'm going to start over from the beginning of the story. Anyway, so I said, okay, does she have a job? And she said she does what my daddy does, which is that her imaginary friend was a cop. Okay, so then I said, where is your imaginary friend? A policewoman at, and she said, right next to where my daddy is a policeman. And I said, okay. And then she said, I met her when I was in my mommy's belly, and she touched it when I was inside. So a few months before my niece was born, my cousin Tracy had passed away. She was hit by a train, and she loved watching Scooby-Doo, and she had a ton of Scooby-Doo memorabilia. She was also a cop. She was a cop in the town that is right next to the one my brother-in-law is a cop in, my niece's daddy. My niece's imaginary friend was my dead cousin, and there is no other way she could have known all that at the age of 4.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy.
Here's a good one. When my older brother was 2 or 3, I'm sorry, when my older daughter was 2 or 3, she used to have a couple of imaginary friends, Dodo and Dee Dee. They were typical imaginary friends. She would talk to them and play with them and tell them about their lives. Then, one day when she was about 3, she was talking on her play phone when I walked into the room, and she hung up her phone and said to me with a completely flat voice and deadpan expression, "The evil is coming." There you go. That's a scary one, isn't it?
What about work? You know, you get this big shutter, roller doors that come down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like a little bit around the middle that's like mesh.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can see out, but people can't see in.
Right.
So we stand there shouting things at people, shouting abuse, and they're like, who the hell? I'm whistling. And
as
stuff.
If they don't know who it is.
Well, they don't. They actually don't most of the time. But somebody walked past there the other day, like quite close to the shutter. In fact, it was yesterday, and I went, and he actually turned around and he should have seen the fear in his eyes. It was hilarious. It had so much more effect than shouting to people.
Yes, the fact that you've been doing this for about 11 or 12 years doesn't mean they have no idea who it is at all. I mean,
but they do, because they go, is that you?
Well, no, they know who it is. They know who it is. They know who the weirdo is that's screaming over in the corner.
Making weird noises.
Tell us about what you're going to talk about today. I'm really, really, really excited about this. You have been saving this from me.
Okay, we're going to be talking about
shadow people.
That was actually well timed there, I think. I pulled that off. Good at pulling things off. Now, where are we? Shadow people. I'm lost. Hold on a minute. My tabs. Somebody tabs here. Okay. There's a growing interest in the phenomenon of shadow people. What are they? Ghosts? Interdimensional beings? Time travelers? Something else? What was that? You were sitting comfortably on your sofa reading the latest issue of Fate in the dim light when movement across the room caught your attention. It seemed dark and shadowy, but there was nothing there. You returned to your reading, and a moment later, there it was again. You looked up quickly this time and saw the fleeting but distinctly human shape of the shadow pass quickly over the far wall and disappear. What was that? Some natural shadow? Your heightened imagination? A ghost? Was it something that seemed to be a spreading phenomenon? Apparitions that are coming to be known as shadow people or shadow beings. Perhaps this is an old phenomenon with a new name that is now being discussed more openly, in part thanks to the internet. Or maybe it's a phenomenon that, for some reason, is manifesting with greater frequency and intensity now. Those who are experiencing and studying the shadow people phenomenon say that these entities almost always used to be seen out of the corner of an eye, and very briefly. But more and more people are beginning to see them straight on, and for longer periods of time. Some experiences testify that they've even seen eyes, usually red, or these shadow beings. Mysterious sightings have become a hot topic of conversation in paranormal chat rooms, message boards, and websites, and it has given widespread attention on paranormal talk radio. Don't believe that. What are shadow people, and where do they come from? Several theories have been offered. The imagination. The explanation we get from... What?
I'm just laughing because one is just, you're imagining it.
Yeah, that's it. This is the one point as well. The one bullet point. It's not. The imagination. The explanation we get from skeptics and mainstream science, or as I call, septics.
Septics.
That's what I call them.
Mm-hmm.
Are mainstream science and who are usually people who have never experienced the shadow people phenomenon. Is that nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Is nothing more than the active human imagination? It's our minds playing tricks on us, our eyes seeing things in a fraction of a second that aren't really there. Illusions. Real shadows caused by passing auto headlights or some familiar explanation. And without a doubt, these explanations probably can account for some, if not many, experiences. Human eye and mind are easily fooled, but can they account for all cases? Ghosts. To call these entities ghosts demands first a definition of what we mean by ghost. See the article, Ghosts, What Are They? But by almost any definition, shadow people are somewhat different than ghost phenomenon. Whereas ghost apparitions are almost always a misty white, vaporish, or have a decidedly human form and appearance, very often with discernible clothing. Shadow beings are much darker and more shadow-like. In general, although the shadow people often do have a human outline or shape because they are dark, the details of their appearance is lacking. This is in contrast to many ghost sightings in which the witness can describe the ghost's facial features, style of clothing, and other details. The one detail most often noted in some Shadow Being sightings are their glowing red eyes. Demons or other spirit entities. The dark countenance and malevolent feelings that are often reported in association with these creatures has led some researchers to speculate that they may be demonic in nature. If they are demons, we have to wonder what their purpose or intent is.
Mm-hmm.
Letting themselves be seen in this manner, because they are merely to frighten. Astral bodies. One interesting idea that shadow people are the shadows or essence of people who are having an out-of-body experience. According to Jerry Gross, the first version was probably better, an author, lecturer, and teacher about astral travel. We all travel out of the body when we are asleep. Perhaps the theory says we are seeing the ephemeral astral bodies of these twilight travelers. Time travel.
Hmm.
People from our own future. Another idea states we have found the means to travel to the past, our time. However, they are able to accomplish this feat, perhaps in the state they appear to us merely as passing shadows, they observe the events of our timeline. Interdimensional beings, what?
Nothing, I'm just listening.
Oh. Some loud listening. Interdimensional beings. Even mainstream science is fairly convinced that there are dimensions other than the three we inhabit. And if these other dimensions exist, who or what, if anything, inhabits them? Some theorists say that these dimensions exist parallel and very close to our own, although invisible to us. And if there are inhabitants in these other dimensions, it is possible that they have found a way to intrude on our dimension and become at least partially visible. If so, they could very well appear as shadows. It has long been held by psychics and other sensitives that beings on the other planes of existence are of different vibrations. Science is beginning to look at reality on a quantum level in the same way that particles of the smallest size exist as vibrations. Perhaps some theorize the vibrations of our existence are beginning to mesh with those of another dimension, which accounts for the increases in such phenomena as ghosts, shadow people, and possibly aliens. Aliens. The alien of... What? The alien abduction phenomena are so bizarre that it's no surprise extraterrestrials are suspects of the shadow people. Abductees have reported in many cases that alien greys seem to be able to pass through walls and close windows and to appear and disappear abruptly. Among other worldly talents, perhaps, too, they can go about their alien agenda disguised in the shadows. There's a good deal of overlapping among the above ideas, of course. Aliens and ghosts could be interdimensional beings, or aliens could be time travelers. Some believe demons are responsible for all of these disturbing phenomena. There is no way to prove or disapprove any theories about a phenomenon that is so mysterious, that happens so quickly and without warning. Science finds it virtually impossible to catalogue or study such phenomena in any methodical way. All we can do at present is to document personal experiences and try to piece together what shadow people phenomena might be. Perhaps it is an old mystery becoming more recognizable. Perhaps it represents a doorway to and from different planes of existence, or perhaps it's just shadows.
Hmm. Or perhaps it's just that.
Extremely interesting. I was listening to something a couple of weeks ago about shadow people. First of all, do you believe that you may have seen a shadow person?
Do I believe? Well, yeah. But sometimes, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I'll see something. It could be my hair. That's one of the things that I was saying.
Shadow.
Or that, you know, because I'll see something and I'll turn and there's nothing there. And I'm like, well, maybe it was just my hair because I have a lot of hair. But I've never seen anything straight on. I haven't seen a shadow person straight on. I've seen things.
Not
You know that, but I haven't seen a shadow person straight on.
Big things, man.
Big things, man. I'm telling you, man.
Stuff, things, man. Peripheral vision. Peripheral vision. I've discussed this in one of the shows before, didn't I? I did a show talking about peripheral vision. I'm sure I did. See things in the corner of your eye.
Right.
But the thing is, we all see things. So what I've discussed before is seeing things in the corner of your eye. A lot of the time, it's at night time or in unnatural light, I find. So the corner of your eye is because you're just tired. But then again, it's the fact that we're tired changing our brainwave patterns into the form of astral projection brainwave patterns, which eventually we will detach from. Is your mind and brain and vision picking up things which actually could be there, but in a different dimension, because your brain's going to a different state because you're tired, or is it just because you're tired and you're just seeing crazy stuff, you know? But, or is it the fact your brain's going to a different state, you know?
Right.
But, see, I've been doing this for quite a few years. It can be difficult, but I've seen things, man. Like, for one day, it was during the day, actually. It was day, and here's me saying mostly. It's like nighttime, mostly. That was an alien reference from the movie. I actually saw something in my bedroom, and rather than me turning to look at it, I watched it in my peripherals, and it was like this little boy or something waving to me.
Mm-hmm.
His arm was going back and to.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm in here. And I was like, what the hell? Oh, don't look at it, but do. And there was another time. See, when I was listening to this show about shadow people, obviously they were talking about, you know, they don't have a definitive outline. I mean, the most features you can see usually are fingers is the most discernible feature.
Right.
Apart from the usual shape.
The outline, right, the shape of somebody.
Yeah, sometimes, like a silhouette. And sometimes they have a hat or a hood. And see, I didn't realize any of this until it matched with my experience at about a year ago. And I was like, what? Oh, it's just, you know, when you've experienced something and then it's being confirmed by the same description as what somebody else has done. And, well, I'll tell you what I saw. Once again, I was sat here watching the TV. This was at night time, probably around this time.
Right.
I had the unnatural light from the TV, and I saw something in the bedroom, walk out of the bedroom, walk across the living room, and then stand to the left-hand side of me next to the city. But it was, as they mentioned on this radio show, which I hadn't really thought about, you know, it was just, I saw something, and then I was just like, what the hell was that? But I didn't actually pick up the minor details or the details of it because it's something I hadn't seen before, so I could compare it to something that, you know. Anyway, it was like stop motion. It wasn't fluid. It was like, you know, in stages.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
watching an old, you know,
mm-hmm.
Film footage or something. And it had a hood on it. So.
And it was eating pizza.
No. Darn it. I was going to say something.
And I made you mess it up because
yeah,
I said
yeah.
pizza.
dang it. I was going to say about the food. Oh, peripheral vision. What is interesting is in the army they actually teach, from what I've heard, actually teach soldiers you know, if they're out nighttime in woods or something, actually to use their peripheral vision to watch something rather than looking directly onto it, because the retina isn't letting as much eye as the peripheral vision. So, in that case, if you're out in the woods and you saw something in the corner of your eye, is it therefore that means that what you're seeing in your peripheral vision you can rely on more than if you're looking at it straight on? Right?
Not necessarily.
Why? Because if they're telling you to watch something in the peripheral vision and you've seen something and you look at it, you won't be able to see it again because it's not letting as much light and you're thinking there's nothing there. But if you looked in the peripherals, you know there's something there. So your retina's vision is saying there's nothing there, but your peripheral's saying there's something there. Watch it. So which would you rely on better?
I think it just depends on the situation, sir. Seriously, no sarcasm. I really believe it just depends on the scenario because, I don't think there's any absolute. Okay, well, you know, I just think that if I'm in a situation and there's something in my peripheral vision, like I may not want to turn to look at it because if it's something that's trying to sneak up on me, I need to be able to use the element of surprise against it. Or it could be that if I'm seeing it that way, you know, turning around it could mess it up depending on, but it just depends on the situation. It just depends on the scenario. So, there you go.
So, if you don't do it anyway, you know, I think it's a good exercise for people. If you see something caught in your eye, don't look at it. Don't turn your eyes to look at it. Use your peripheral vision to watch it and see what it does, because
just to see what happens.
It can be difficult. Something, oh, God, there's something there. I mean, you can't. The thing is, there might actually be something there, and you'd be like, I'm not looking at it, but I am. You know, it's difficult sometimes, but, you know.
It just depends on the situation.
And you'll see a whole lot of things, because I just see orbs and blue. I see a lot of blue splodges that appear in the room all the time. Blue, like royal blue with sparkliness in it, you know. But some people say that these the different things you see, little portals or orbs that in the corner of your eye, are mean different things. There's a little black blob. It's somebody. Listen to the show that I talked about remote viewing and stuff. And
right.
Abductions and stuff like that, because they mean different things. Like, for example, a black blob means that someone's actually
watching you,
remotely viewing
right.
you. But if you're looking at it directly, they stop viewing because they're like, oh, I've been caught. You know what I mean? So,
or if it cuts them off.
Yeah, and the other colours, like blue, and that is supposed to be like beings peeking in.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? So, did you have some stories?
Yes, I did. I have something. Let me see. Creepy crawling. How about that one?
Yes, it's scary.
Several months ago, my wife and I were sitting up watching some TV. After our kids had gone to bed, we heard our 4-year-old son's bedroom door open, and then the sound of him rapidly crawling down the hallway toward the living room. We figured he was trying to sneak up on us and doing very poorly. My wife mouths. Oh, she did. My wife, what? I'm like, oh, okay, never mind, because it's saying that she actually mouthed the words, not that she has many mouths. Okay, my wife mouths, watch this, and gets up off the couch. This person has the most horrible grammar ever. Anyway. She moves toward the hallway and pounces into the entrance to startle our son, only to stand up looking confused. She looks at me and says, there's nobody there. We go to our son's room, and he's knocked out. So, of course, we check on our daughters, and they're asleep, too.
That sounds like, now, it could possibly be the astral projection.
It could be. It could, like, it could be. Yeah, it could be that the child was projecting himself.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, crawl out of the bedroom and sneak up on him.
Right. Exactly. It does sound like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Tell you what would be interesting, if you wanted to do it, that hooded figure that I saw come out of the bedroom, what if you laid some cards out to get some information about what that was? You feeling that, or are you not?
We will do that. We'll do it. Let's take a little bit of a break.
All right.
And we're going to do that. There is a caller in the queue at 718 that we're going to talk to.
And then we'll come back. We're going to carry on talking about...
what we were just talking about.
Shadow.
So what do I do when we come back? Take the caller and then do my...
do your reading?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Alrighty.
Yeah, we'll do that. Let's bring it down just a little bit and, you know, just kind of mellow out, because I know that, you know, I need to mellow out for just a second. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. If anybody wants to give us a call, remember, you can give us a call at 347-215-8421. Today's topics are about shadow people, about just scary stories, just random unexplained things, the unexplained. If you would like to have a simple sample reading, remember, you can do that. Give us a call, but keep your question very simple, because it is a sample. Okay?
And when you do call, we'd like you to share with us a paranormal experience of your own.
That would be awesome if you could do that. Because
if you don't, we're going to be unhappy.
We're going to start losing our minds. Now, it would be awesome to be able to sit back and talk about some things that are.
And if you don't feel comfortable about it, talk to you and tell us anyway.
Isn't he nice?
Just kidding.
He's kidding. Okay. We'll be right back. This is Broken Earth Radio Show.
The road, are you holding on? Are you holding on to your last good day? When the stone breaks the wheel, are you holding on? Are you
Welcome back to the Broken Earth Radio Show. So what did you think about that song?
Mellow.
That's it?
Yeah, it's a good song.
Just mellow.
That's a good song, yes.
Okay. I really like that song. I think it's awesome. Let's take the caller at 718. 718, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. How? What's on your mind today? Or, you know, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good. I didn't really get to catch the earlier part of the show, but I guess I heard him mention shadow people.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that was a very loud, like, what do you call it? The
awesomeness.
I had the phone on speaker and out of nowhere. I was like, oh, my God, what is that? It scared me. So what exactly are shadow people?
Good question. We're not sure. That's why we're discussing, you see.
Oh.
Yeah, they're black images, or like just, it looks like, the thing is though is that they're not really reflecting on a wall. They're like, it's like a shadow that's just hovering or walking around. So it's not like there's a reflection on the wall, so there's speculation on whether or not it's somebody that's peeking in from another dimension, somebody who might be astral projecting. Instead of having a misty white, it could be it's like a dark black ghost. I mean, so, you know, it just really depends. People have different opinions on what it is. There's lots of them, and that's what we've been talking about. Have you ever seen something like that?
Not as descriptive as how you're stating it, but there was one time where I was like in the kitchen at my home, and I could have sworn there was like something, like, it sounds like what you're saying, like a dark kind of, like the outline of something in the corner of my eye, and then when I turned, I was like, oh, and there was nothing there.
But right. It felt, talking about that too, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like something was there, like I could have sworn something was right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's something that we were talking about too, you know, about, you know, the peripheral.
Yeah.
Seeing it out of the peripheral. Like, we know that if you look in your peripheral, or if you're like, you know, doing what you're doing and then peripherally you see like black spots, you know, that's a sign of remote viewing. So like if you basically whenever we do readings to see what's somebody doing today? That's a form of remote viewing. It's kind of a psychic spying, and that person can actually see it happening. And I always try to tell people, when we do this, the people that we're talking about or that we're reading about, they know what we're doing. They don't know per se that, hey, Nunu's doing this, but their guides know that, you know, whatever it is that's around them knows that we're peeking in.
Right.
So that's why sometimes we got to be real careful about, you know, repetition. You know what I mean? We got to be real careful about that, because there's a point, if you've ever had a lot of readings about a certain subject, where it just stops being effective, and that's just because the wall is put up and you've just got to take a different approach. So anyway, that's just something to decide. But, what's your simple question today? Did you have one for us?
Yes, I did. I wanted to know if you could see a move coming up around me, if you see me cohabitating with anyone soon.
Hold on just a moment. Let's see.
Okay.
There's a possibility for it to happen, but it honestly looks like it's not going to be until the early fall, late summer. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it does look like there might be an attempt to make something happen in May, but around that scenario, it kind of seems like there may not be a movement. Like the movement looks like it may not happen, but it does look like it'll happen. It does look like it will happen, but like I said, it's going to be further off, like around September.
Okay. Well, thank you.
No problem. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing, and thanks
no
for
problem.
Listening.
No problem. Of course.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, so are you all right?
Yeah, it's just the vodka, you know.
Oh, is that what's going on over there?
That was just a bit of a...
Shadow.
People. It's going to haunt my dreams. My own voice.
Yeah, it bugs me too.
Shadow. People.
I guess the day that I told you that I could listen to your voice for the rest of my life, I didn't realize how long that was going to be.
Yeah, now it's just wearing thin. So now.
It's funny because it's true.
Yes. It is. So you want to, I've got a feeling about what card may come up to represent. Representing the shadow people in this spread. It'll be interesting if it does come up.
Okay.
So you lay the spread out there. How do you think it's the best way to describe it? What it was? Who was it? What was it I saw? Did I actually see anything? Just to answer
and this,
just
and
a
this
general
is...
reading.
I'm going to kill you.
And this was what? Sorry, you didn't say.
I hope it's just some like the comic book man standing over you eating pizza.
Yes.
Oh, wow, this is crazy. Well, it does look like it's a man, and the man.
Doing your spread?
Yeah.
Did the death card come out?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. Continue.
No, but the hanged man showed up. There's a man, there's an actual man, and next to this man is a dark man at the same time. So it almost looks like it's a person. And the thing is, though, is that this person looks like there's a dark individual hovering next to him. So I think the person that was in there is somebody who's actually living.
Wow.
Did you say ow or how?
Ow. So the person was living?
Because the man has two layers. It says he's hovering and watching, and it says that he is, I mean, he's got a physical description. His physical description looks like it would just be like some Irishman. I mean, somebody with Celtic features. And then next to him is a dark figure, which is actually the shadow. And the person, it says that he looks at you and then he left. And it actually says that he's got a foundation of making connections with you. So there's somebody who I think is, honestly, this looks like this might be what we were just talking about with remote viewing or somebody who might have been doing some sort of astral projection, to be frank.
Do you think it was my dad?
I think so. I honestly do.
All right.
That's exactly what was in my head. Is that it's how your dad? Yeah.
He's checking on me as always. Right. Very good. Thank you.
I wonder if he knows that he's doing it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He tells you. I was looking at you.
He tries to clear out my apartment and stuff, you know.
I was listening.
That
makes me feel kind of uncomfortable.
Makes me feel comfortable.
Nothing.
Just like the fact that he comes in and, you know, make sure this, you know, sometimes you get these things that latch on to being there.
Like me?
Yeah.
The albatross?
Yeah, the albatross.
The albatross was actually good luck. Did you know that?
No, but
you felt
I chose a song called Albatross.
Are you doing
so, instrumental.
Well, why don't we listen to it, and then we'll come
back. Okay. You ready to get pumped up? You get ready for this? I'm going to get pumped and psyched. This tune is going to blow your mind.
Remember, our lines are open. The number's 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. Let's listen to that before we go into the albatross. You ready?
I'm ready.
Damn straight.
Broken Earth Radio Show. And that was really, really nice, Bill.
Yes, it was good. I was looking for it before, and I was like, I was listening to Aka Bilk, first of all, Stranger on the Shore, and I thought, should I listen to that? And I thought, no, I don't want to listen to it. And I was looking at the Shadows, Albatross, and I was like, this doesn't sound right. Some had a version I want, and then I realized it was Fleetwood Mac, their version that was I preferred. So there you go. It's nice and relaxing. Makes me feel warm and fuzzy. It's good.
That's good. Does this make you feel warm and fuzzy?
Yeah.
Good.
It certainly does.
That's all that matters, is that you feel cozy on the inside. you know, this is not me, but a friend of my mom's. She noticed strange things in her house, food depleting faster than usual, wet towels when she didn't remember having a shower, unlocked doors when she was sure she locked them, etc. And this went on for months until she had to get something from her attic and found homemade sleeping quarters, a mini fridge, a hot plate, a television, etc. Every night a homeless person would climb a tree and sneak into her attic through a window that had a broken latch. And she called the cops and they found the guy, but she didn't press charges. She let him stay for free for 3 months, and now he pays a small amount of rent and lives there legally. Apparently he was a really nice guy that just wanted a home to sleep in. He helps with the maintenance, mows the lawn, et cetera, and went from being creepy to a pretty cool story.
But still kind of creepy, but that's good.
He was taking showers, and he was washing his hair. He was shaving. He was wearing her high-heeled shoes and her bras. It was like Buffalo Bill.
Everyone was acting like they could turn against. And she's like, boo, you're working entirely too hard to feel better about your celebrity boyfriend result. How about focusing that effort on work that produces something that matters? And I said, I am making things that matter. I'm making echo sounds in the Bill's phone app.
Damn straight.
And she did the estimate, shaking my head.
Damn straight.
And cheek. Anyway, that is so ridiculous. We just can't get any more ridiculous.
Honey,
I just don't think it can happen.
It's a story about shadow people.
About what?
About
shadow
people. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, this was sometime during the winter around 2002. I was living in a home in Cranbrook, Canada. I had a frightening experience I would never forget. I went to sleep like any ordinary night. The sky was pitch black like any other ordinary night, but I awoke suddenly without knowing what was going on. I suddenly became conscious. Then immediately after I witnessed, I witnessed a cloaked black figure glide through my closed door. And the figure, and my sound effects, it was wearing a black cloak as dark as the sky.
The dark sky. Yeah. The night sky.
Not as dark as the sky. The sky right here. I couldn't see any sign of a body, but it appeared like it was floating above the ground. The figure didn't say anything as it stood there. I was paralyzed in fear. Then it raised its arm, and all I could see was the sleeve of its cloak raise, and it dropped something. I'm not sure what it was because it was dark, but it appeared to be a sphere of some sort that was about the size of a baseball. Then there was a bright flash, and the figure was gone. Immediately, the night sky lit up, but no light shone in my room. And what felt like an eternity, there were these huge circular white flashes that kept going off in the sky until I passed out. But the night didn't end there. I had the most horrifying dream a child could have. I was hanging over the top of a stove by my neck, next to an old man who was also hanging by his neck. He had dirty gray hair with a dirty gray beard. But the most shocking thing about this dream is that his limbs were ripped off. Where his arms and legs were, was nothing but bloody stubs. After this incident, I never saw a figure like that again. Shadow people.
That's a good one.
Pretty messed up, right? So, yeah, it's difficult to determine, but... I'll tell you what, there was one woman. See, this is how they're different to... seem to be different from ghosts. there was one, a story of one woman who actually shone a flashlight at one of these shadow people. And it kind of put its arm up to protect itself from the light. It was like,
wow.
But at first of all, it kind of like seemed to peel itself off the wall. You know what I mean? Like a shadow.
Right.
Like, you know,
interesting.
Like it was 2D at first, you know, two-dimensional. In fact, it was multi-dimensional.
No. I heard a cat getting eaten by something. Something else.
Something else was eating a cat.
Just listen to the story.
Oh, sorry. I thought you I'm sorry. You were supposed to say, and here's a story, or read the title like I do. Astral projection.
Or just be quiet for just a second. I heard a cat getting eaten by something. Something else. I was too scaredy cat to open my blinds and peer into the darkness. A lot of snarling, jaw snapping, bones crunching, muscles tearing, and the sheer shrills and screams of a cat dying. It took a minute before it went quiet. That was somebody's creepy story. Yeah, that was it. But, you know, sugar. I tell you, it's like there's shrapnel outside from the blow-up of destruction she's done for the past 2 days. I think it's because it's getting warmer and it's springier, and she's just out there on a killing spree.
My cat caught a bird from London Zoo. One day. We're hundreds of miles away from it. And I was like, this bird in the garden, it was dead. And we're like, wait, it's got a tag around its leg. And it said London
Zoo. It broke out.
Okay, a long way.
Here's a story. You ready?
Yeah.
Real life issue, totally non-supernatural. Long before I met my wife, I started dating this girl who was fun at first, and the crazy came out, like usual. I'm just kidding. I eventually broke it off, and she kept calling and making up pretenses that we should get together. One night it was, I have some pictures I want to give you that were taken at my birthday, and I told her I didn't want to see her and go to bed. I wake up in the middle of the night sensing a presence in my room. I roll over to this dark figure looming over my bed, and I start to freak. She's suddenly trying to comfort me, telling me she just stopped over to bring me the pictures. And my terror turns to rage, and I tell her to GTFO. I follow her down and usher her out the door. I lived in the ghetto at the time. It literally says that. It starts saying that, and I'm like, what? And this person actually still does. It's just a different ghetto and always locked the doors. He has no idea how she got in, but fortunately never spoke to her to ask. Oh, my gosh, I sound like you.
I'm not that bad. The only time I struggle is with names.
What?
The only time I struggle is with names.
Do you want to really be saying that out loud?
Yeah. Did you finish your story?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, when my dad was a child, he had many experiences. In fact, some of them are actually documented on the radio show of some very strange and disturbing stories, which still affect him to this day. Some strange beings. You know. But my grandfather went to check on him one night. I was walking past the room one night and stood over my dad's bed with his silhouette, which sounds like a shadow person, of about 7 feet tall. Stood over, and my grandfather just, he got out of there, you know. He's like, I'm not even going in to do that. I didn't go in there, you know, and say, you know, what the hell are you doing? He was like, no. And he used to stand in the hallway as well, blocking the hallway, this figure. This huge figure, much bigger than my grandfather. It was like 6'4", my grandfather. This big guy, and this thing was bigger than him. just stand there.
That is just creepy.
Yep.
Very, very creepy.
Here's another story. Sometime in 08, my family and I had returned from an outing to our Georgia home. My two sisters immediately went outside while my mother was on her cell phone by the fireplace. The door was slightly open. As I stood thinking of my day, I could hear my sisters giggling by the door and whisper my name. I thought, oh, they don't scare me. And I threw open the door and I said, I know it's you, stupid. But my sisters were out doing jumping jacks in the road.
That's okay. That's what we do. We got up there
and safety gear.
Jumping in the street. When a car comes.
Yeah. I ran over to my mom crying. When she was off her phone, she started telling me how she saw our broken kitchen light turn on one night and how she hears voices and footsteps while we're at school. Earlier that week, my sister said our closet door was opening and how it finally opened, only for my sister to see a black hand holding the door. Shadow people. From what I've heard, you know, majority of them do seem to be evil.
Or it seems that way.
Yeah.
It seems that way.
But it seems to be the same reports again and again, you know, like silhouettes or silhouette with red eyes, you know, the red eyes and watching. But also, not only that, but they seem to be passing through, you know.
Right.
They don't seem to be there to, you know. What? Hello? Hello?
I'm here, even.
What the hell was that?
I accidentally pressed the mute button, duh.
Freaking me out over it. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, they're passing through. They're not, you know, they don't intentionally come here. It's like, it's just like, because there was one report, some guy used to wake up at night and they just like to, you know, come through the door and then pass through the other side and maybe glance at him and just keep on going, you know.
Right.
It's like a crossroads, like, yeah, sorry, I just can't pass through, you know. Maybe I'll stop to have a look at you, like,
Okay,
now.
I'm going to read some things after we take the next break. Okay?
I'm going to read some things, man.
Okay, we're going to be talking about ancient buildings that...
Sorry.
What?
I've got a story to go with that.
About ancient buildings?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
This is the motherlode of ancient building stories. Go on.
This is Broken Earth Radio Show. Our lines are open, which is it's such a pretty day. I think people are probably outside playing. But give us a call.
Jackson Street.
And Jumping Jackson Street. The number is 347-215-8421. And we'll be right back.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. It's been a ruin for many a poor girl, but I know.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
And we're back. Welcome back to the Broken Earth Radio Show, everybody.
Ciao.
I did play the show announcement, but for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be playing an hour later. It's going to be 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern, because the time change has not changed in the United Kingdom and other parts of the world yet. So, but anyway, 5 shockingly advanced ancient buildings that maybe shouldn't exist. We're going to be talking about these. The achievements of ancient cultures tend to be woefully unappreciated. We think of the people as loincloth-wearing savages, and we're proven wrong by some impressive feat of engineering. We just make a bunch of documentaries about aliens. Did that make sense? No? Basically, when we're proven wrong by some impressive feat of engineering, we just attribute it to aliens. But the engineers of times past were nothing to sneer at, and some of their accomplishments make ours seem slightly embarrassing. It still could be aliens, though, but there's a place called Derinkuyu. It's underground. It was discovered in the 60s in Turkey. When a modern house above ground was being renovated, when they were going underneath, they found that hidden for literally centuries, right under that house and right under everybody's noses, basically, Derinkuyu is just the largest of hundreds of underground complexes built. And they're not sure exactly who did it, but it was around the 8th century B.C., to understand just what's so phenomenal about this feat of engineering, imagine someone handing you a hammer and a chisel and telling you to go dig out a system of underground chambers sustaining about 20,000 people. I mean, that's how big this is. They didn't have fancy modern chisels. So they dug and did excavating with tools that had to be 2,800 years old. The city was probably used as a giant bunker to protect its inhabitants from either war or maybe even a natural disaster. But the architects were clearly determined to make the most comfortable doomsday bunker ever. It had access to fresh flowing water. The wells were not connected with the surface to prevent poisoning by land dwellers or just by whatever might be up there. It also had individual quarters, shops, communal rooms, tombs, arsenals, livestock, and escape routes. There's even a school complete with a study room. Even now, the site hasn't been fully excavated, so they haven't found, what is completely down there. So, doesn't that sound amazing?
Yes.
And there's a link to this story on our Broken Earth Radio Show page, so you can kind of see what the story says, and there's also a drawing that kind of shows as much as they've been able to do or to see what it looks like underneath there. And there's even some photographs too. There is a place called the Hypogeum of Hal Saflini, and it has its bizarre acoustic properties. There's no telling if I'm saying that right. On the island of Malta, there's a prehistoric underground megalithic structure known awesomely as the Hypogeum or Hypogeum of House of Saflini, which sounds like the title of that, what's that movie? by Terry Gilliam, what was that movie? I can't remember, but anyway, there is that movie about the somebody, Dr. Somebody's You remember?
You're not giving me a very good description. Something about something.
I can't remember what it's called. It doesn't matter.
Frankenstein.
No, it was that one about the guy, and it doesn't matter. Anyway.
Wow, how specific.
No, I said it didn't matter right now. But anyway, back in 1902, when some workers were digging a hole and broke through the ceiling, they found about 7,000 skeletons. I'm sorry. I just can imagine the screaming. But anyway, they were all clustered near the entrance. So that's pretty creepy. But
I don't
most,
get out.
I know. Anyway. So since most humans inherently lack common sense, I'm just kidding about that, that's sarcasm, they decided to look around instead of running. But instead of having their faces melted off by some Indiana Jones MacGuffin, they found something truly astonishing. The three-level underground structure is made entirely out of megalithic stones and was built who knows when. And what surprised people even more was when they found out that male voices could reverberate through the entire complex. If the person was standing in a certain spot, so basically the effect only worked if the speaking voice was at a 95 to 120 Hz range. So women's voices couldn't, yeah, it hurts. Women's voices couldn't generate the same effect.
You'd have to be like, you have a couple of man's voice.
Yeah, so whoever built this actually invented some sort of sexist architecture. Now, it gets even weirder. If you're a man chanting at roughly 110, the entire temple complex turns into a bizarre trance-inducing room that seems to be able to stimulate the creative center of the human brain. So simply put, by merely standing inside that temple complex while someone was chanting in the proper location, you actually enhanced your spiritual experience. And that's all we really know about this place. We have no idea who built it or how they pulled it off. All we know for certain is that they had a knowledge of acoustics that is still baffling scientists to this very day. So there you go. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
The ancient Marib Dam worked for 1,000 years. Yemen is a country that is rich in dust and poor in water, which is why in ancient times the empire that controlled it, the Sabaeans, built a great dam in 750 BC because subjugating a populace is thirsty work. The dam, which was cheated out of being one of the official seven wonders of the world, was nevertheless regarded as one of the greatest feats of engineering of the pre-industrial age. After all, you know, I don't even know what to say why it's not. But anyway, anyway, you have canals, gates, spillways, and the whole thing has to be waterproof. The Sabaeans managed all this before the existence of concrete, and their dam stood for over 1,000 years. And in comparison, modern dams built with our advanced technology last for about 50 or 100 years, if they're really something. It was 2,000 feet long, and while it was standing, it converted ancient Yemen into a fertile oasis, which was then known as the Kingdom of Sheba, like Queen of Sheba, you know. Because everyone has to fall down. Eventually, the dam finally burst around AD, 600 AD.
So how long had it been up for?
Yeah. It had been up since 750 BC, so it lasted for about 1,000 years. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Crazy awesome.
Yeah.
And Pumapunku is a city built in Tiwanaku in Bolivia. What sets it apart from just any old ancient city is the most is the way that the precision of the stonework is. It's like, I mean, you've got to see these pictures, I'm telling you.
Are they like huge stones you can't like actually fit like a piece of paper between because they fit so perfectly together?
Well, it's just that they're chiseled. There's things that are actually chiseled into them, like something that you would need a laser cutter for, actually.
Oh, right. Sorry, I'm thinking about something.
Yeah,
else.
And they even use a form of metal L cramp, similar to what we use today to keep the giant blocks in place in case of an earthquake. And these aren't little cinder blocks. The largest of the stones is about 20 feet long and 17 feet wide, and it's estimated to weigh about 130 tons. That's around 200. That's around 20 semi-trailers. That's how much those things weighed. So technologies like wheels and cranes and a riding system and all that hadn't even been, you know, at play.
Yeah, I mean, this place is... I haven't got my book with me at the moment, but there's it's probably somewhere near Egypt where there's massive carved stones which are too big even to be lifted by today's technology, which have been used to build structures.
Right. You know, it's alien. The next civilization after the Tiwanaku were the Incas, and the Incas thought that they were gods, and that the Pumapunku that area was the center of the world. Now, one of the last the last place we want to talk about is the Göbekli Tepe. Or Tepe, Göbekli Tepe. It was built before people knew how to grow food. Back in the 60s, surveyors in Turkey found an ancient buried complex composed of huge stone pillars arranged in a circle like Stonehenge. Some of them were 30 feet tall, and what really knocked the monocles out of their eyes was that it was older than Stonehenge, about 6,000 years older. So these massive ornate limestone pillars were carefully carved from a nearby quarry using hunks of flint rock in their bare hands. Having been dated to around 9,000 BC, the Göbekli Tepe is thought to be the oldest human construction that's further back than any of the ancient sites you learned about in history class. In fact, it's in the Stone Age where the only things they knew how just think about what was going on in the Stone Age. Anything that was built back then has probably been blown over, you know,
forbidden theology.
The site predates agriculture, which means that the people who built it were still chasing food around rather than planting crops. Discovering that this complex of massive stone pillars was actually built by Encino men, as the National Geographic puts it, was like finding that someone had built a 747 in a basement with an X-Acto knife. And this doesn't make much sense because conventional knowledge has always been that humans didn't start building things until after we learned how to farm. So, go on.
Sorry.
Well, the excavation turned up a whole lot of bones, and they're assuming they're for animal sacrifices, and they're pretty sure that it was a religious site, which seems to indicate that it was religion, not agriculture, that first inspired people to build giant things. And given that they did all this before they even had metal tools, they must have been pretty scared of those gods or inspired by them or something. So, what do you think?
It's very interesting, yes. I have more to say, but I should say it after this article. Now, this is interesting because of what's going on in the news at the moment with all this stuff. Pyramid from the Jurassic period found in the Ukraine. A Ukrainian scientist discovered the oldest pyramid in the world. Most interestingly, it was found in the most beautiful corner of the country in Crimea. As the ICTV channel reported, the finding was revealed by accident when during his test alternative during, sorry, I think this might have been translated, so it might have been weird. When during his test alternative, testing, I presume it's alternative methods of finding water, Ukrainian scientist Vitaly Go discovered an underground unknown object, which proved to be a giant pyramid of 45 meters in height and a length of about 72 meters. As the ICTV channel reported, the finding was revealed by accident. Blah, 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 blah. I've just read that out. sorry. He said that the pyramid is built during the time of the dinosaurs, Crimean pyramid, as a truncated top like a Mayan pyramid, but its appearance is more like an Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
It's hollow inside, and a mummy of an unknown creature is buried under the foundation. Quoting here, under the foundation is a small body in the form of a mummy, about 1.3 to 1.4 meters long, with a crown on its head. There is a resonance chamber of a so-called sphinx. The pyramids were built in the area of the dinosaurs. This, the scientist says, is in an interview with the ICTV. It remains unknown who built the pyramid. The unique building is the oldest on the planet, says Vitaly Go. Sorry, it must have been translated or something. There are some videos there, but you can check that out. Some videos on YouTube, but that's interesting from the Jurassic period. But if you are interested in these kind of things, my mouse is scrolling itself up and down for some reason without me touching it. The image just exam interest in forbidden archaeology and forbidden history. Probably some of the best places to check out is probably if you wanna find out about the pyramids in Egypt and evidence of structures on Mars. Extremely good evidence of structures on Mars. Have a look for Wayne Herschel's book, The Hidden Records. If you want to find out about forbidden archaeology, check out Michael Cremo. You can also check out Charlton Heston's documentary about forbidden archaeology, with all kinds of crazy things, like there's a pickaxe which is stuck in a rock, which was from millions of years ago. There's somebody else as well. David H. Boyle also talks about this in the beginning of his workings of the universe. For example, in Egypt, in the carvings of Egypt, there's carvings of helicopters and things. Which, how do you explain that? And also, cave paintings. They actually done pictures of them riding and using triceratops dinosaurs to help them with whatever they're doing, how they have known about these dinosaurs and what they look like, as discovered by modern day archaeologists, how would they have known then without them actually being alive during this time, you know? So there's a few places we need to check out.
Okay. There's somebody in the queue, so let's take the call real quickly before we start tidying things up.
Article I need to read through quickly.
Okay.
Before the end of the show. So.
Okay. All right. Hi. This is Broken Earth Radio Show, and we're talking to 305. What's on your mind today?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just tuning in to you guys and hearing a little bit of on the topic. I just kind of tuned in now, so I guess I'm a little lost.
Oh, okay. Today we've been talking about quite a few things. We've been talking about shadow people. We've been talking about unexplained events, strange things that children have told their parents, you know, that could be supernatural things. And we've also been talking about just, architecture, ancient architecture that's being discovered before, you know, these are things that have been around since before. It should really make sense for people to be able to actually move these things.
I've actually watched a couple shows on the History Channel where they're trying to make a connection between, I don't know if there was extraterrestrials who came and basically gave people the knowledge or helped people, well, you know, ancient people, and gave them the technology to do certain things, because a lot of people now, scientists, still can't figure out how they were able to possibly do some of those things.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Or if, in fact, we are just what's left over of those people, you know. So there's different ways to look at it. There's different ways that we can look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just find it really interesting. I just like learning about things like that and the possibilities, because I don't think we as human beings, or whatever you want to call us, have everything figured out, even though we think we do.
Right, right. Kind of vain for us to think that we're the only thing that's here and that's the only thing that's ever been, you know? But, you know, that's what we do. That's what we do.
Yeah, we try to make sense of something. If it doesn't make sense, then it can't be possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what else has been on your mind today?
Well, not too much. I mean, I've been going on lots of interviews and trying to get work, but I don't know, it seems to be really difficult for me right now. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe the universe is trying to tell me something.
What type of work have you been digging into?
Pretty much anything that is possibly a paycheck. At this point, I'm just trying to get something so I can save up to go back to school. Yes. And go back to school to study law. So I've been going everywhere, and I've been on countless interviews, and it just hasn't been working thus far.
Okay. When you're looking at something that's a little bit less hoity-toity, you know what I mean? If you're just kind of interviewing at stores or you know, something that's just kind of like to make some money, to keep things clicking by. One of the things that I see is really going to work for you, and I want you to try this out, because I do believe that you will probably get hired by the 20th, which is basically two Thursdays from now. Just don't leave until they tell you when to show up. I know that sounds almost pushy, but it's not pushy. It's not pushy. It's just basically when they start talking to you, just start talking about the place. When people are wanting to hire you, they're not just looking at whether or not this is something that you could do, but they're also just looking to see if you're someone that they can work with and that's going to show up. So basically, if they start asking you questions about yourself, just say, well, you know what, actually, and see how you may be able to get them to start talking about the place. And then the next thing you know, you just say, well, what day do you want me to begin, or what day do you think you'll be meeting me? And I want you to try that tactic, because you'll get a job that way, okay? But like I said, I see something with this around the 20th, which is actually the spring equinox. Look at that.
That would be great, because my birthday is on the 21st, so that would be a great birthday present, getting a job.
That would be an awesome birthday present, wouldn't it? Yes, it would.
Yes.
Well, sweetheart, let us know how you're doing. Let us know how you're doing, and thank you so much for listening and contributing to the conversation. And we'll be rooting for you. Oh, thank you very much, dear.
Yeah,
thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, honey. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nice. What was the rest of your thing?
I'm sorry, we can get to this article, but we might have to continue the discussion next week.
Okay.
This plane. Malaysian plane, right?
Okay.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. There's some astonishing things you're not being told about Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, the flight that simply vanished over the Gulf of Thailand with 239 people on board. The mystery of the flight's sudden complete disappearance has even the world's top air safety authorities baffled. Air safety and anti-terror authorities on two continents appeared equally stumped about what direction the probe should take, reports the Wall Street Journal. He goes on to report, "For now, it seems simply inexplicable," says Paul Hayes, Director of Safety and Insurance of blah, 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 some rubbish. While investigators are baffled, the mainstream media isn't telling you the whole story either.
Mm-hmm.
So I've assembled the collection of the facts that should raise serious questions in the minds of anyone following the situation. Fact one, all Boeing's 777 commercial jets are equipped with black box recorders that can survive any onboard explosion. No explosion from the plane itself can destroy the black box recorders. They are bomb-proof structures that hold their digital recordings of cockpit conversations as well as detailed flight data and controlled service data. Fact two, all black box recorders transmit located signals for at least 30 days after falling into the ocean. Yeah, the black box from this particular instance hasn't been detected at all. That's why investigators are having such trouble finding it. Normally, they only need to home in on the black box transmitter signal. But in this case, the absence of signal means the black box itself, an object designed to survive powerful explosions, has either vanished, malfunctioned, or been obliterated by some powerful force beyond the worst fears of aircraft design engineers. Fact three. Many parts of destroyed aircraft are naturally buoyant and will float in water. In past cases of aircraft destroyed over the ocean or crashing into the ocean, debris have always been spotted floating on the surface of the water. That's because, as you may recall from this safety briefing you've learned to ignore, your seat cushion may be used as a flotation device. Yes, seat cushions float, so do many other metallic aircraft parts. If like 370, if Flight 370 was brought down by an explosion of some sort, there would be massive debris floating in the ocean, and that debris would be not difficult to spot. The fact that it's not been spotted only adds to the mystery of how Flight 370 appears to have literally vanished from the face of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Fact 4. If a missile destroyed Flight 370, the missile would have left a radar signature. One theory currently circulating on the net is that a missile brought down the airliner, somehow blasting the aircraft and all its contents to smithereens, which means very tiny pieces of matter that are undetectable as debris.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this theory is that there exists no known ground-to-air or air-to-air missiles which has such capability. All known missiles generate tremendous debris when they explode on target. Both the missile and the debris produce very large radar signatures, which could be easily visible to both military vessels and air traffic authorities. Fact 5, the location of the aircraft when it vanished is not a mystery. Air traffic controllers have full details of almost exactly where the aircraft was at the moment it vanished. They know the location, elevation, and airspeed, three pieces of information which can readily be used to estimate the likely location of debris. Remember, air safety investigators are not stupid people. They've seen mid-air explosions before and know how debris falls. There is already a substantial data set of airline explosions and crashes from which investigators can make well-educated guesses about where debris should be found, and yet even armed with all this experience and information, they remain totally baffled at what happened to Flight 370. Okay, I'm nearly finished now. We've got time, yeah, 3 minutes, haven't we? Fact 6, if Flight 370 was hijacked, it would not have vanished from radar. Hijacking an airplane does not cause it to simply vanish from radar.
Right.
If transponders are disabled on the aircraft, ground radar can still readily track the location of the aircraft using so-called passive radar, classic ground-based radar systems that emit a signal and monitor its reflection. Thus, the theory that the flight was hijacked makes no sense whatsoever. When the planes are hijacked, they do not magically vanish from the radar. The conclusion, Flight 370 did not explode, it vanished. Inexplicable conclusion from what we know so far is that Flight 370 seems to have utterly and inexplicably vanished. It clearly was not hijacked. Unless there is a cover-up regarding the radar data, and we can all be increasingly confident by the hour that it was not a mid-air explosion, unless debris suddenly turns up that they're somehow missing all along.
Right.
Have I run out of time?
Yeah, we're running out of time. And I honestly do believe that it was hijacked, and I honestly do believe that, I don't believe we're ever going to know the truth, to be honest with you, but I do think that whatever information they're going to let us have, it'll all be out by St. Patrick's Day.
Well,
so.
I was like near the end of the paragraph, but I don't think we've got time for it.
Yeah, we don't. But we'll pick back up on it if anything is you know worth really talking about by next week.
I'm sorry, I hope people can understand how I was rushing through it.
No, I think they get it. They get it because we're at the end of the show. We only have like a minute left. So thanks, you guys, for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, remember, you can reach us on Facebook with Broken Earth Radio Show, Psychic Nunu, or you can reach us at BillDoyle@live.com via email. It's been great talking to everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back this time next week. And have a wonderful rest of your week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.